Okay, after wishing everyone a Chodesh Tov. Yeah, let's talk about, number one, we spoke yesterday about the Oev and the Sone. We came to the conclusion that perhaps we can reconcile Rashi with the Rambam. The Rambam seems to assume, in Hilchas Eidus at least, that a Sone and an Oev as Posel and Din, they're only kosher in cases where, you know, it's even though in certain cases in Eidus, the Eidus would be acceptable, but in Dayonis not. And yet the Rashi seems to assume that the Din is kosher. And we said that there are different levels. The Gaon seems to assume there are different levels. Okay, fine. Now, we want to talk a little bit about the Kalim of the Dayan. Let's see if we can find this on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Where is this going to be? Yeah. If you recall, the Gemara says that there are certain kalim that the Dayan has to use. You'll count up from the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis approximately 10 lines, and you'll see the following. The first word in the line is Vishufra. You see that? And it says the following, Vatzaveh es shofteichem. Bo'esahi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Keneged, Makel Uritsua, Tehe Zoris. In other words, the word Atzaveh, which is Miloshan Tzava, means Zrizus, and what we have to do is make sure that there's a certain Zrizus, a certain dedication, to make sure that the judge is equipped with a Makel and a Ritsua. And we want to know exactly what are these kalim used for. So we'll see, for example, a little bit earlier in the Gemara, Rav Huna, ki avinofik ledina omar hachi afikuli manich and venosai. You know, it's bring me the kalim that I need for judgment. Makel uritsua, vishufra visandala. So let's see, we have four utensils that the judge needs. One of them is called a makel, one is a ritzua, the other is a shofar, and the other is a sandal. So let's go backwards. Sandal, Rashi says lechalitza, and shufra, Rashi says leshamta v'nidvi. And then we go up the ladder, and we have ritzua, Rashi says lemalkus. So what's the makel? Rashi says makel lemakas mardus ad sheyachzor bo. So Rashi identifies the ritzua with what we call makas doraisa. So it means that two edim warned the person against violating a lav in the Torah, and he went ahead and he violated that lav. And in such a case, we give him 39 malchus, and we hit him with a ritzua. And the Gemara in Masechta Makos has a whole discussion about the ritzua. It should be a very soft one, and not too hard. You know, we don't want to kill anybody here. And then Rashi says that the makel is for makas mardus. This is a little bit odd, because a makel would seem to be a more powerful instrument. If you strike someone with a stick or a club, that's pretty dangerous. And yet we're talking, according to Rashi, about makas mardus, someone who violated an isur derabanan. So what I'd like to take a look at is the Ritva. The Ritva is not happy with this Rashi. You'll take a look on page Pei Vav. I hope you have that page on the left column. V'hinei haritva b'makis tafchav beis amid beis kosav yesh omrim she'ein medaktikin al makis mardus. That we shouldn't be so careful And perhaps we shouldn't be so harsh in the case of Makas Mardus. Mishum Dover Mimakas Shal Torah. In other words, there are many things that we are very careful about and requirements and standards that have to be met in regard to Malkus Shel Torah, but those requirements and those standards do not have to be mirrored and reached in the case of Makas Mardus. Ella, but rather, Makin Oso Bein B'Makil U'Bein B'Ritzua Makos Sheyiru Bezdin Lefi Mardo. The Ritva seems to advance the position that it's subjective, meaning the judges have to decide in every particular case what kind of punishments they need to get this person back on the right track, meaning he's rebelling against the Drabonons, and it might mean that we have to hit him with a makil, we have to hit him with ritsua. It seems that according to the Ritva, there's no standard objective definition of Makas Mardus. It all depends on various factors, and the Beis Din is going to be in charge of shotsing up, of evaluating what kind of a punishment it would take Lefi Mardo to get this person back on the right track. He says the following. What about Rashi? According to the Gvuris Yitzchak, V'chein Nira Midivrei Rashi Zal, he sees something similar in Rashi. We didn't see it similar in Rashi. Shekasa beperkava de Sanhedrin gabi klei adayonim sheamru sham makel uritzua. And Rashi says makel lemakas mardus ritzua lemalkus. Vizeu mardus loshon ridui. Ridui means when we punish a person that we hit him. And Ke'odam harode v'makel obiritzua. Kimoshi yirtze, according to how much he needs to be marde him. And he says, ke'ov harode espino. We have a phrase of redia, of rode, with regard to a father who's punishing his son. And the reason why he's doing this to his son is because he wants to make sure his son is going to shape up. He's going to live by the law. He's not going to endanger himself or endanger anyone else. Or of our rabbis talmido. So he says the following: Umakin b'ezo makom sheyirtzu bein milafonov bein miliachorov. So again, I'm not sure where the Ritva finds a colleague, you know, who supports him in Rashi, but I guess he's assuming that when Rashi says Makas Mardus, Rashi also would allow for a certain flexibility in which the judges would decide, you know, how much of a punishment they want to impose upon this person. So he compares it to the case of a father and a son, or a Rav and a Talmud, and there's absolute flexibility. So in other words, at this point, Makas Mardus, according to the Ritva, is a separate category. It really does not fit. It's not a subcategory, a mirror image of Makas Doraisa. You know, normally we assume that when the Rabbanan institute a Takana, it's got to be Ke'en Doraisa. It's got to be similar to the Doraisa. Here, we're not limited in any way by the strictures of the Torah. And that expresses itself in many different ways. Number one, the Dayan has a choice whether to use a Ritsua or a Makel. Number two, he has the choice how many times he's going to hit him and how hard he's going to hit him. All these elements, which are standardized in the case of Makas Doraisa, are now subjective and reflect the decision and the evaluation of the Dayan in the case of Makas Mardus Derabbanan. But then the Ritva quotes another opinion. V'yesha kosvu de makas mardus ke'en do'raisa tiknuha. K'tsas. La'koso lefonov u'le'achorov. So these are Mishnais at the end of Masechta Makas, and certain Makas we give in front, certain in the back. umakas hamishtal shelo, so it has to be three sets of 13 makas. Ubertzua shel egel v'shel chamor, right? There's specific requirements in terms of the strap. It has to come from either an egel or a chamor. Elish ein medagde v'kol elu advar mashnuim kan v'lo b'kfisa ala omut. In other words, there are certain additional requirements, nuances, that apply to makas d'oraisa and do not apply necessarily to makas d'rabbana. But in general, in terms of how to hit him and how many times to hit him, that seems to be standardized for both makas d'oraisa and d'rabbana according to the Yesha Kosu, because they have the principle of ke'en d'oraisa t'knuah. V'nire, d'pligi, what are these two opinions about makas d'oraisa, d'rabbana? Bepligi begeder makis mardus derabonon. Ihavi takoda derabonon shechayev malchus. In other words, the rabbonon are saying that although on a deraisa level he's not chayev malchus, but the rabbonon is chayev malchus, but now he's chayev the same exact malchus that he would be chayev had he violated a deraisa. Oh, another alternative is the ainza ela hakavi alma. In other words, it's just a method of achieving a goal. It's a means to an end. All we need is some sort of hakah that will guarantee that he straightens out. But it's not a chiv malchus. Rashi sover she'eno migeder malchus. Again, when he says Rashi, I don't know who told him that this is Rashi other than the Ritva. Because the Ritva quoted Rashi as a support to his shita. So I think he's referring to the Rashi quoted by the Ritva. Ela hakor greda l'kach ein medagdekin al makas mardus b'shum dovar mimalkas shel Torah. None of the requirements at all. There's no similarity between makas mardus and makas doraisa. Makin also bein b'makil bein b'ritzuos. How many makas do you give him? Is makas shiru bezin l'fi mardo? There's no standard requirement. Afiliyoser milamites malchus. It could be less than 39. It could be more than 39 until it does the job. You know, you'd probably have to hire a special expert dayan or some sort of auxiliary dayan who would be an expert in this field of psychology, of criminal psychology, to figure out when you could get this fellow, you know, back to accept the rabbanus. So that's according to the sheet of the Ritva. And we're identifying it as the sheet of Rashi as well. Then we have the second sheet in the Ritva. That's the Yesha Kosu. Sovrim Davi Takana Shechayev Malchus Min Rabbanon. Right? You remember that the Yesha Kosu invoked the principle of Kol the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Do Raisa Tikkun and applies that principle to the case of Malchus. And therefore we need a Ritzua, we need an Egel, we need a Chamar, we need Makas Lefanov, Makas Lachorov, we need Mishtal Shalos, three sets of 13 Makas. And according to the Shita, what the Rabbanan did was they took a Chiv Malkas Doraisa and applied it to a Rabbanan case. And the Elal Kosa Yosem Milamites Malkas, therefore the maximum number of Malkas you can give him is 39. Makinus of Malchus came to Raisa, Lefanov, Lachorov, Ashtalshlos, Pertsua, etc. So Rav Osai, this is something that reminds me personally of Truma Derabbanon. There's a machlokas that Truma Derabbanon and Chala Derabbanon, whether we apply the principle of came to Raisa Tikkunos. Like, I'll give you an example. In Truma Doraisa, there's a halacha of Minamukov. In other words, you have to have if you're being mafrish truma from here onto here, they have to be on the same table. Let's say, does that apply to truma derabbanon? What's truma derabbanon? So according to most rishonim, accepting the Rambam, all peres ha'ilon other than tirosh v'yitzar, that's all derabbanon. Everybody agrees that trumas yirokos is derabbanon, or kidneyos is only derabbanon. So what happens in the case of a mitzvah's truma derabbanon? Are the rabbanon basically saying this is the mitzvah truma as the Torah formulates it, but we can extend that and apply it even to this case? Or are the rabbanon creating a whole new entity? For example, any case of truma on a deraisa level, what's the status of the truma before you mafresh truma? Anybody know what that's called? Teva. What about Truma Derabbanan? Is it Teva? So, for example, there's a whole sugya Masechta Beitza about Chala Derabbanan. And Chala Derabbanan would be, let's say, Chalas Chutz Laretz. And the Gemara says the Chalas Chutz Laretz Eina Tovelas. There's no din of Tevel in Chalas Chutz Laretz. Or, for example, in Truma, you have a din of No Sein Eina Mitzad Zev Yochel Mitzad Akh. Does that apply to Truma Derabbanan? There are many different issues. And it all really depends upon whether we're bound by the same rules as the Doraisa. If we apply Ke'en Doraisa Tikkun, then we are bound by those regulations. And Truma Derabbanan is going to dance to the same tune as Truma Doraisa. If on the other, the Rabbanan are creating a new entity, like for example, Mukta. Mukta is a new entity. You know, there's no Ke'en Doraisa in Mukta. You don't have anything in the Torah about Mukta. It's a rabbinic invention. Chulin Shinish Tuba Zorah, according to Rav Shimon, might be a brand new invention. So you have many cases where the Rabbanon came up with in the language of Tosas, called the Dover She'en Lo Iker Ben HaTorah. So if you have a Dover She'en Lo Iker Ben HaTorah, the Rabbanon just expanding the scope of that mitzvah, the scope of that Isur, then we apply the principle of Kein Do Raisa Tikkun. But if you're dealing with something which is not a davar she'ikro min haTorah, in other words, there's no source for it in the Torah, then the Rabbanon are creating something new, and those regulations will not in any way reflect a doraisa. So here we have machlokas about makas the Rabbanon. Now, the simple pshat should be the yesha kospu, meaning we should apply the principle of kein doraisa. What the Rabbanon are doing is they're taking malchus doraisa and they're applying it midrabbanon even to cases where he ate basar of b'cholov, right? He ate the Rabbanon. What's the reason to say like Rashi in the Ritva? And I think the answer is because an avera derabbanon is not the same as an avera doraisa. An avera doraisa means that the maisa avera is repulsive, it's objectionable per se. Not so in the case of an avera derabbanon. The avera derabbanon means that he's not listening, he's rebelling against the chachamim. And therefore we're not going to say that just like if he ate basar behema becholov and he gets malchus, so if he eats basar of becholov he's going to get the same malchus. And ke'en do raisa tikkun as makas madus. No, because eating of becholov is a brand new entity. It's not a maisa avera in the same sense as an avera do raisa. Ella what? The Torah says that we have to listen and oblige the authority of the Chachamim. It says, "Vasisa kachol hashal yirucha lo tasur." So anytime you violated the Rabbanon, it's a rebellion against the Rabbanon. As if to say you don't care about the Rabbanon. So in that case, the Rabbanon have to figure out exactly how to punish you in order to make sure that you cease and desist from this rebellion. And that would be the sheet of Rashi in the Ritva. The only thing I'm left with as a question is why a makel? I mean, so maybe now we have the answer, actually. I just thought of it. I was bothered by this makel. You know, it seemed to me that a makel is a lot starker than a ritzua.
So sometimes we do. The chacham do things. We give something worse than
exactly. So it could be that now we have the answer, at least according to... Right, and again, the Yesha Kosu says you have to do with the Ritzua in Makas Derabbanan. Why? Because they understand Kein Doraisa Tikkun. Just like the Torah requires a Ritzua for Makas Doraisa, so too the Makas Derabbanan requires a Ritzua. But if you go like Rashi in the Ritva, Makel makes sense. Because in certain cases, if a person is very rebellious, you may need to threaten him with a more harsh punishment.
Is the ritzua made of egel or chamor by amalgus?
Doraisa, correct.
Same, so it's not any different.
What's not different? What's A and what's B? I didn't catch
it. No. Here it says it's either an egel or a chamor. I thought that's softer than Ritzua
Doraisa. According to the Eshe Kosvu, Egel Achamor is exactly the same as Doraisa, right? That's Kein Doraisa Tikkun.
Okay.
So I just want to see here if he comments on Makil. Let's see, Memhe. Misha Avral Mitzvahs Chachamim Shemalkinoso B'Makil Makas Mardus. Umavuar debemakis mardus ein makpidim al koso dafka beritzua. So this would reflect the shita of Rashi the Ritva. Fine. Now he quotes the Ritva that yesh acholkim al zev sovrim di af makis derabonon makis mardus yesh al koso dafka beritzua, and that he calls kein do rice the tikkun. Ubepirish harav b'shem Rabbeinu Chananel hakavona lemakel shadayonim ma'aymim bo al hasarvanim. Oh, I think I mentioned this to you once, no? That the makel here is just for Iyum, you know, it's just to scare him. They didn't actually club him, you know, hit him over the head with a club. Okay. So that's number one. Now, we're going to turn to Daf Ches Omer. Oh, no. First, we have one more paragraph in the Rambam. Vehinei Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin Milchas Sanhedrin Kosav. Jerry, you have this page, Zayin? You don't have it?
You do? Thank you.
So on the top right, Vehinei Rambam. Kosav Demisha Chayv Malkus Vekofsu Al Ha'omud Lilkos Ubarach Potur Vein Machzir Noso. I think in secular law there's something similar. It has a Latin name for it. I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, so they were about to hit him, and somehow he wiggled his way out, and he flew the coop. He's Emach Zirno. So now we're going to have an interesting question, Rabbi Osai. Here's a case of Makas Doraisa. He violated an Issa Doraisa. He ate Basar Behema B'cholav, and he flew, and he managed as a fugitive to avoid the Malkus. And there's a Kula here of Emach Zirno. Would that apply to Makas Mardus? So he says, L'das Rashi, Shemakas Mardus, Eina Elaha Ka, the Alma Velov, Imigeder Malkus, Pshita Deino Niftar Bibbarach. He says, fine, we don't have this leniency in the case of Makas Mardus. The purpose of Makas Mardus is to get to the goal of having him desist from his rebellion against the Rabbanon. And the fact that he ran away, Adarabba, that's even more of a rebellion. You got to bring him back and give it to him. Ulam l'das ha-sovrim, if you hold like the Yesh Misha Kosfu in the Ritva, that Makas Rabbanon is ke'ein da'oraisa, here you can vacillate back and forth. What happens if he runs away? On the one hand, Yesh Lomar l'choru, we should say the Niftar, just like in Makas da'oraisa, he becomes potter if he runs away. Same should apply to Makas Rabbanon. Why? Because Ke'en do Raisa Tikun. Ulam Ritva Kosav. The Afilu Lidas HaSovrim Shechayev Malkus Min Rabbanon. You remember the last few words in the Ritva on the bottom of page Pei Vav was that he says, El She'en Medagdekim B'chol Elu Advarim. In other words, there are differences and we can lower the standards for in Makas Mardus. So it's not an exact equation to Makas Doraisa. He says, "Imkein Nired the Dafka b'Makas Doraisa Shikovsen Osala Amud." Right, we tie him down to an Amud, and he's already been humiliated. If he runs away at that point, he breaks out of the handcuffs, then he's Potter. Aber Makas Rabbanon Shein Kovsen Osala Amud. Perhaps in Makas Rabbanon we don't humiliate him by tying him down to a pole. Therefore, we can be more machmir here. He hasn't been humiliated, and he's not going to be potter by running away. I would say the following: that even if you would tie him down on the omud, I still think that perhaps we would want to bring him back, because again, maybe the Ritva would agree in the Yesh Misha Kosfu that even though we're going to equate and. And mirror image the Makas Rabbanon with the Makas Doraisa because it came Doraisa Tikkun. But nevertheless, we also have to keep in mind the merit here, right? Mardus Milosh and Ridui and merit. And maybe if we haven't accomplished that goal of quelching the rebellion because he's running around as a fugitive, maybe we have to get him back into Bezdin for Makas Mardus. Okay, now we're on Daf Ches Omer Aleph. And we're going to learn a sugya about Moshe Rabbeinu. Kikatan, kigadol tishmaun. So this at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing himself to the Dayanim, and number one he says, "Kekatan kagadol tishmun." So you have to hear cases that are, let's say, smaller cases, small claims court cases, in the same way that you would try and decide on cases that are gadol, that could be millions and millions of dollars. Okay, so we'll talk about that, but I first want to talk about Amos Dayan Aleihem. Just one second, where is that? Oh, here it is. Vadovra Asher Yikshe Mikem. Okay, see if you could find that. How many lines down is that? Hadover Asher Yikshe. Here it is. So if you can count with me from the top down, and B'li Nedda tomorrow will fill in the missing pieces, we'll count down around 12 lines, Be'erech, and the first word in the line is Vadavar. Do you find that? Okay. Now, this is in Parshas Yisro. Let's see if he tells you on the side exactly where to find it. What number do I have here? I have number Bays. No, that's not a Bays. What is that? Bays. Aleph, number Aleph. Okay, so this is in Dvarim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? We're going to have smaller courts, and the Dvar HaKasha, those complicated cases, will be brought to my attention. Takriven Elai is the end of the pasuk Ushmatid. So when a din kasha comes in front of the dayanim and they don't know exactly how to paskin, then send it to me. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. What does that sound like when you say, you know, a complicated case, send it to me?
A
right, it sounds like a shtickle guy over here. Amar Rav Chanina v'itemo Rav Yoshia al dover zeh nenash Moshe. On these words, hadover shayikshe mikem takriven elai shmativ, Moshe was punished. And what was his punishment? Shenemar, the Benos Slofka come to ask a question about Nachla, and it says, Vayakrev Moshe's Mishpatan Lufnei Hashem. Moshe didn't know the answer, and the parsha had to come through the Benos Slofka. This was a punishment. Not everybody agrees to this. Maskif lo, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Miksiv, Ashmiachem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say that I will tell you the answer. Moshe says, Ushmativ ksiv, which means the following. E gamrina, if I learnt it, in other words, if Hashem told me the answer to your question, and it's a dover kasha, then gamrina, then since I learnt it from Moshe, I can paskin the shiloh. But if he lo, Moshe Rabbeinu is implying that if he didn't get the word from on high, azilno gamrina, then I'm going to have to stand in front of Hashem, and I'm going to have to ask Hashem to open my eyes and give me a clarity and answer the question. That's humility. That's not gaiva. Ella, so you ask me, so why is it that when the Benos Slofka came around to ask Shaila about Nachla, Moshe Rabbeinu was stumped? Kirisanya, it wasn't a negative feature in Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it was a positive feature in the Benos Slofka. This was a reward for the Benos Slofka. Reuya Parshas Nachla Shetikasev Ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu should have written this parsha. He had all the rights and the merits to do so. He was not guilty of any sin. Ella, but here there was a special schus of Benos Slavcha. They were such tzidkanios that they wanted Eretz Yisrael, they wanted a portion of Eretz Yisrael. Is there nichtav al yodam? Right, this is the famous principle of Megalgal and schus al Yidei Zakai. Vehine, okay, we're reading here on page Zion. Harambam, kosav nitztavu atzibro linog kavod b'dayin. Oh, so this we didn't get up to yet. I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun here a little bit. Where is v'atzaveh eschem va'esahi? Is it a little bit further down? Just one second. Where is it? Speak out loud. A little bit further down. Yeah. Pieces of Shalim. Omer Rab Lazar, Omer Rab Simloi. Omer Rab Lazar, Omer Rab Simloi. Can you find that? It's the first word in the line is Rebbe, and then it says Elazar. It's mamish smack in the middle of the daf. I don't want to start counting lines here, but Azhara Litzibur Shetehei Emas Dayan Alehem. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu opens the parsha of Shoftim to the people with the statement Atzaveh Es Shoftechem Vaesahi, and the word tzav is zirus, you know, to make sure that people are very careful about something. So Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rav Simlai, says that what did he want to be careful about? And he says, Azhar l'tzibur shitei emas hadayon aleihem, v'azhar l'dayon sheyizbol es hatzibur. So there's a kind of a mutual respect here, on the one hand an obligation on the tzibur to respect and esteem the dayan, and commensurate to that is that the dayan has to tolerate the tzibur, meaning he should not reject their requirements or their requests. He should be very, very careful about their covenant. Okay. V'hine Rambam perchav hei milchus Sanhedrin kosev nitztavu atzibur linhog Kavod b'dayan, shenemar vatzaveschem zu azhar l'tzibur shetei emas adayan aleihem. So this idea, this halacha of emas adayanim, that the people have to give kavod to the judges, the Rambam apparently, based on our Gemara of Rab Lazar, derives from the pasuk vatzaveschem. Fine, the tzarech im. What bothers us? Dalodin kava dayan, yalfinon meha diksiv bidvarim, vaykaches roshe shivtechem, vaytenol sam roshim aleichem. The pasuk says that I will take the heads of your tribes, and they will be the heads lording it over you. So Rashi says in the name of the Sifri, Rashim aleichem. What does it mean that they will be the heads on top of you? Shetinagu bahem kavod. Rashim b'mekach, Rashim b'memka, Rashim b'masomaten. So in other words, whenever you have kavod, you give first kavod to the dayanim, to the shoftim. And if you have to sell something or buy something, you should first go to the dayan if you think he needs it, or maybe he would buy it from you, or so forth. The ilu mihach krod vatzava eschem yalfinan azhara litzibur shetehei emas hadayan aleihem. So we have an interesting question over here, because on the one hand, the source for this din of giving kavod to the dayan, the Rambam quotes our Gemara of vatzava eschem. And yet, the according to Rashi, the name of the Sifri, it's the pasuk vekach es roshei shivtechem vateno som roshim aleich. That's the source for nihu kavod b'dayonet. V'hine hatur v'shulchan aruch shemish v'tzimon ches kalsu de mitzvah linog kavod b'dayon v'yu. And all the super commentaries, the priest, the Levush, and the Gra, they write the Alfilei Mihach Kra Devatzav Eschem. V'tzarech Iyun, the Hach Kra Iri B'mora Dayon, V'lo B'din Kavod Dayon. Okay, so let's talk about Mora and Kavod here. Right, we know that vis-a-vis parents, for example, we have two mitzvahs. We have Kibud Av and we have Mora Av, or Kibud Em and Mora Em. Here, if you take a look at our Gemara, quoting the Pasuk Vatzava Eschem, the Gemara derives Emas Hadayan. So we're not talking about the mitzvah of Kavod, but rather the mitzvah of Ema. And yet, paradoxically, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch writes that there is a mitzvah of kavod adayon, they quote the pasuk vatzava eschem. And that's really strange, because the Rambam says that the same thing, that the mitzvah of kavod b'dayin is derived from vatzava eschem. But let's read the Rambam one more time. The Rambam says, nitztavu atzivu lino kavod b'dayin shenever vatzava eschem zu asor litzivu shetei emas hadayin aleyan. So it sounds like the Rambam is deriving not only kavod hadayon from the pasuk vatzava eschem, but likewise he's even deriving the mitzvah of emas hadayon aleihem. So the emas hadayon aleihem from vatzava eschem is very good news, because that's what the Gemara says explicitly. But the source for kavod is a different pasuk, and that's the pasuk ve'etein osam rashim aleihem, which Rashi says Shetirugumem covered Roshim. How could it be that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch combine, they integrate together Emas Hatzibur and Kavod Hadayonim into one entity, one unit, and derive it from Vatzava Eschem? L'chor, it's two different mitzvahs. Vatzava Eschem, the Gemara identifies as Emas Hatzibur, Emas Hadayin Aleihem. As far as the source for kavod b'dayanim, that's a different pasuk of Vayetein Osam Roshim Aleichem, as Rashi points out in the name of the Sufri. How is it therefore that the Rambam combines the two? Shulchan Aruch likewise, mitzvah lino kavod b'dayan v'yeh emas aleichem. And the source for this, according to all the Mefarshei HaShulchan Aruch, is Vatzava Eschem. But we're talking about kavod adayan here, not just Emas Hadayin. So that's the question that we're asking. Behine, the Sefer Mitzvos LeRambam, Mitzvah Reish Yud, Manal Mitzvos Aseh Bifnei Atzmo LeChabed Aviv VeImo. That's Reish Yud. Be Mitzvah Reish Yud Aleph, Mitzvah Bifnei Atzmo Lira Aviv VeImo. So we have now the mitzvah of kibud avaim as one mitzvah, and the mitzvah of mora avaim as a separate mitzvah. Now, when it comes to Rabbo, we expect to anticipate the same bifurcation. The Rambam should have two different mitzvahs. One is kavod Rabbo and one is mora Rabbo. And yet, with regard to Rabbo, the Rambam in mitzvah reish tes combines the two. And he integrates both kavod and mora. So the Brisker Rav says the following. Now, with regard to the mitzvah of Mora in Aviv means Aviv Imo, is a separate entity, a separate mitzvah independent of Kavod Aviv. And how do we know this? Because Kavod is a mitzvah saseh, and Mora is a mitzvah lo saseh. So Kavod means I have to stand up for my father, I have to feed my father, I have to service him. But Mora means I'm not allowed to contradict him, I'm not allowed to sit in his place. That's called Mora. So clearly these are two independent mitzvahs. Okay, fine. Lekach hashvina le'letrei mitzvahs on the top pechas. Ulam, the mitzvahs Mora Rabo, cause of a Rambam, the yisod Mora mi kvodo, v'lo Mora shi'an sheyu. In other words, the Rambam writes that you should have Mora for your Rebbe, just like you have Kavod for your Rebbe. It should not be Mora because he's going to beat you up. That's not what we're afraid of. You know, the awe that you have for your Rebbe is not because you're afraid he'll punish you, but rather it's really a reflection of Kavod. It's in a sense an embellishment or an intensification of Kavod. The Kavod on the highest level reaches the level of what? Of Mora. Therefore, says the Brisker Rav, both Kavod and Mora, vis-a-vis the Rebbe, are integrated into one mitzvah. Now let's talk about Dayan. Would you integrate Mora and Kavod into one mitzvah? What would you say, Rabbi Osai?
Yeah.
Well, it depends. You remember we had a whole discussion about the Dayanim have to warn the, you know, make sure that the Shamish is going to bring them the Ritzu and the Makil, right? Because we said that a Dayan has a double function. He's not just legislative or judiciary, but he's also executive. So there's an element here of Mora Dayanin. So he says the following: Tzarech Iyun, the mitzvahs Dayan, Ha'im Adin Mora, Hu Mora Machma Shemayanishu, Kamo Mora Aviv, O. Right, which is a separate mitzvah. Right, the Ram counts Mora Aviv as a separate mitzvah because the father, you know, can give him a smack, you know, a whack. And the same thing applies to a dayan because he could also give you a whack over the head with a ritzua with a makin. Oh, Shema the mitzvah Mora b'dayan yisodo Mora mikvodo, and then it becomes like kvod rabba. V'niral the svirle l'rabba the yisod Mora dayan hu Mora mikvodo. Just like in the case of Rabbo, right? So we're equating Dayan to Rabbo, just like the Rambam combines Mora Rabbo and Kavod Rabbo into one mitzvah, because the Mora is a Mora that's generated by Kavod. It's not a separate Mora because he's going to hit me over the head. Here too in Dayan, from the fact that the Rambam integrates both Kavod and Mora to the Dayan in one mitzvah, and we saw that in the Sefer HaMitzvah, but we also saw it reflected in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Sanhedrin, is Mishum Hachi, since the mitzvah of Mora is just an extension of Kavod, therefore, Shapir Yalfinan Le'ikar Din Kavod Me'adin Mora, Kevod Al Yidei, the Einzeh Din Mora B'Fe'atzmael, and Din Mora Avichelet Me'mitzvah's Kavod. In other words, the Rambam has the right to derive the mitzvah of kavod from the same pasuk from which our Gemara derives the mitzvah of Mora, because the Rambam identifies kavod and Mora as integrated into the same mitzvah. Is therefore meduyak b'divrei Rambam shehiskil halacha that it's tavenu lino kavod b'dayon v'siyem. Again, let's go back again to the language of the Rambam. He writes nitztavu atzibro lino kavod b'dayon, and then he writes. And then he writes, "Shenemar vatzav eschem zu azhar letzim shetei emas hadayin alein." So pasach b'kavod, the same the ema, and the reason for that is because the ema itself is a reflection and an extension of the kavod. But it's not that kavod is a separate entity and mora is a separate entity. Yisvir leila ramav di so din mora. Right, so it's a mora as an extension of kavod. You have kavod for someone, and therefore you stand in awe of that person. So mora is included under the mitzvah of kvod dayan. Mishum hachi shapir kosva ramam shatzivui hu lino kavod v'dayan. You have a mitzvah to give kavod to the dayan. And there's no separate mitzvah of Lira Mimenu, but rather the mitzvah of Kavod generates the mitzvah of Mora, and Mora is included in that same mitzvah, so it's one entity of Kavod and Mora. Hence, the Rambam derives both from the same pasuk. Now, does that reflect the Sifri that Rashi quotes? Let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says, "Va'ekach es Rosh Shivtechem." Vateno some Rashim Aleichem. Rashim Aleichem Shetinagu Mahem Kavod Rashim, etc., etc. So the Rashi derives Kavod from the Pasuk of Titain. What does it say there? Rashim Aleichem. In other words, Rashi seems to assume that Kavod is a separate mitzvah. Right? He's not deriving it from the same source as Mora, which we said was Vatzava Eschem. So this Sifri, which is quoted by Rashi, that we derive Kavod Adayin from a Pasuk unto itself, Atenoskam Rosh Emalechem, apparently the Din of Mora, which is written in the Pasuk Vatzava Eschem, is not a Din of Mora Michvodo, but it's a separate category of Mora, in which case the Mora has a reflection of Shema Yanishu, we're afraid because he might punish him. Is therefore we need a special pasuk, a liwuri alfusim ifnei atzma for the chiyuv kavod dayanim, and another pasuk for the chiyuv of mora dayanim, and those are two separate mitzvahs. So again, just to summarize, we have machlokas here between the Rambam Viseyoso, meaning the Shulchan Aruch and all the Mefarshim on one hand, and Rashi based on the Sifri on the other hand. Whereas the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Mora is an extension of the mitzvah of Kavod, he counts them both as one mitzvah, just like he counts Kvod Rabo and Mora Rabo as one mitzvah. And Rashi, in the name of the Sifra, on the other hand, sees this as two separate mitzvahs. They have two separate sources in the Torah, because Kavod L'chud and Mora L'chud. Mora is not the way the Rambam would have it, that you're afraid of the Dayan in the sense of an awe for your respect for and esteem for the Dayan, but rather you're afraid of the Dayan because he's holding on to the club. Okay, if I can borrow your pencil just a second. So we'll start here. What are the last pages that you have?
That's the last.
You have Pesach. Oh, you don't have Peches. Okay, so alright, so Bli Neder, I'm going to photocopy this for you for tomorrow, and then we'll fill in all the Gemaras that we skipped, and we'll go on to the Sugya of Motzi Shemra. That's going to be a pretty heavy Sugya. So let me wish everyone a Chodesh Tov, and thank you for the change in the schedule, and we'll see you tomorrow.